Hello and welcome to Season 7, Episode 12 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we are going to be talking about alternatives to Ubuntu 1, and we're going to have a command line love, and we will go over your feedback.
Ooh.
Joining me this week are the usual suspects, Tony.
Good evening.
Laura.
Hello.
And Alan.
Hello.
Tony, what have you been up to?
I've been trying the new version of the software I use for photo processing. It's called Aftershot.
Uh-huh.
It used to be called Bibble, and then it got bought by Coral, who make PaintShop Pro, and they called it Aftershot. And they've released a new version for the first time in about 18 months. And I've been trying to see the differences between that and the old version. There's not much in it, to be honest. But it is one of the few kind of, let's say, professional grade pieces of photo software that's available on Linux, Windows, and Mac OS. So it's kind of
You've been using that for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been using it for, well, I guess 3 years since I started, you know, getting into photography professionally, really. Mm-hmm. And it is still very good, but it's not quite the change that I was used to. But I want to support them because they do keep making it for Linux, and hopefully we'll continue to do so. And this will cue lots of people writing in and say, use open source software piece of software called X, whatever it is. So
feel free to do that. Tony at the UK.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thanks. Wow. 073.
Alan, what have you been up to?
Avoiding Tony is what I'll be doing this week. Last week, last episode, I mentioned the Ubuntu Mate remix. So in a bit of my spare time, I've been learning how to create live CDs, like remixes of Ubuntu, which is quite interesting.
Is it
a mummy CD and a daddy CD really?
Yeah, kind of. It's not really that straightforward, and it's not actually that well documented either. It's which has been quite painful. I've had there's two ways you can do it. You can basically unpack a live CD, and fiddle around with it, or create a cheroot and put loads of stuff in it that you want, and then unpack a live CD and put all the bits together, and like it's a bit like a Frankenstein cut and shut CD, which works.
Yeah,
Or you can use the tools that are provided that are used to build the Ubuntu CDs, the official Ubuntu CDs, using seeds and a tool called Germinate and a tool called Live Build.
Right.
But all of that is really badly documented.
Oh, is it the people who know how to do it all the time?
Yeah. I found a document with various comments from the people who use... Well, no, it's one of those things that's been set up and runs for... It's been running for like 10 years building the ISOs, so nobody ever touches it. And there's no reason to document it because it's all done and it works. So, yeah, it's a bit frustrating.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Laura, what have you been doing?
Got a new phone.
You got an Ubuntu phone? Was that...
No. Not exactly, but apparently it will be supported.
Alan said.
Alan said.
I do not. What'd you get?
Sony Xperia Z1 Compact.
A white one.
A white one, yeah.
Yeah. It's nice.
Cool. Mm, it's very nice.
Yeah.
Got very good reviews.
I was surprised when you hit the photo button, it doesn't open the photo app.
It does.
You
go press and hold it.
Oh, okay.
Because that way you don't do it in your pocket, I suppose.
I take photos in my pocket. I do it all the time.
That's why.
Yeah. Cool. Mm. Is it good? Running latest Android and all that?
Seems to be.
Is it clean?
I haven't really used it yet.
Android, or is it using... Has it got some front-endy, skinny thing? It didn't look like it did.
It's got Sony stuff on it, but not as the skin in the same way that HTC does it.
Right.
It's a bit less obvious. The main thing is that it shows up lots of stuff about the Sony Unlimited Music.
Oh, right.
Like a music store type thing.
Right.
And I know in the review I read, they said they complained about how it was in your face and stuff, but it seems okay to turn it off.
Well, see, this is the problem with Android. If Sony don't do that, how are they going to differentiate themselves? And if you don't pay for the Sony one, what are you going to do? You're going to pay for the Google one. So all the revenue is going to go straight to Google.
Yeah. But it's quite cool because they've done their own apps, which... All right, I've not really tried them yet. But the music one's called Walkman.
Oh,
I know.
Is it a little picture of a cassette or anything?
I haven't looked yet.
Oh, that would be cool.
That'd be cool.
Does it play the music at the wrong speed? Like, my Walkman always used to do that.
Not sure.
What about you, Mark?
I went to Barcamp Birmingham, which is...
Oh, I saw you tweet about that.
Yes.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good, actually. It was organised by Floss UK, who are formerly the UK Unix user group. And yeah, there was probably about 20, 30 people there. I did a couple of talks.
On what?
I did one on Odd Camp.
Yay!
And I did one on... I did a talk at Odd Camp a few years ago about running your own sort of cloud services at home. So I did a sort of updated version of that with what I'm using today, which actually ties in nicely with our segment, which we're going to do.
Cool.
I also sort of chipped in a bit. Pete Cannon was there and did a talk about podcasting. So I chipped into his talk a bit.
Has he got a podcast? Sorry, I say that every time.
Yeah. He just opens his front door and shouts.
Some fool walked up with a microphone and...
Oh, okay. There you go. The rest is history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Shall we get on with the show?
Yes. So, recently we announced that Ubuntu One file sharing service was being shut down for various reasons, and we asked Mark Shuttleworth about that when we interviewed him a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, paraphrasing slightly, that other people did it better. I wanted to, given it's now got to the time when you need to start getting your files out of Ubuntu One, where would you put them? What would you do? You know, what alternative do you use now Ubuntu One has gone away? And I figured there's probably a bunch of options, and I know you guys all use different options and I've got something different, but I figured there's some criteria that probably most people are going to be thinking about when they're looking at an alternative to Ubuntu One. And I've called this the Cresco scale.
This is something you made up.
It's totally official. I'm going to make a Wikipedia page about it and everything.
Right.
So Cresco stands for cross-platform availability. You know, if you're not just using Linux or you've got an Android phone or something, yeah, that might be important. Reliability, how robust is it? Ease of use, how secure is it? Do you have control of your own data? What's it cost and how much do you get for that cost? And how open is it?
Right. So... What do you want to? I mean, you've got a few. I noticed you've noted down a few suggestions of solutions.
Yeah, I mean, I know what I've got, but what do you guys use, Tony?
I moved to Dropbox.
And what triggered that? What triggered you choosing Dropbox over any of the others? Did you look at any others, or did you just go Dropbox?
I had a Dropbox account already, so I just looked at that.
So that was easy.
Yeah,
it compared it with itself.
Was it? Yeah. Were you already paying for it at that point?
No, I still haven't.
Oh, yeah, you're still, sorry.
Still using the free account. Right. So, yeah, so I just thought Dropbox is there. I've got an account, and let's see if it does what I need it to do. So I tried it, and it seems to work okay. And I've moved all my stuff from Ubuntu One into Dropbox, and happy days.
Is it easy to use?
Yeah, it does. Yes, pretty much. It works exactly the same as Ubuntu One. Same as a right-click menu, you know, choose to share, that sort of thing. Cool. Move to Dropbox.
So you put your like wedding photos and stuff in there that you share with customers?
Yeah, so if a client has a digital download...
Do you do wedding photography?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much, Mark. So if a client has a digital download for their sort of pre-wedding photos, or they just want the digital copies or whatever, put a zip file into Dropbox and share the link to them, and then they can send it on to anybody else and get the photos.
Right.
So, yeah, works really well for me, and I'm very happy with it, and it's free. And so far, I haven't crossed the threshold for amount of storage where I didn't need to start paying, which I did do with Ubuntu One. I had paid for a storage expansion.
Oh, right. How much space are you using on Dropbox, then?
Less than 10 gig.
Oh, okay.
Do you chain, like, you'll upload something, and then after a while you'll delete it so that you never... It's not like you're accumulating stuff in it?
Yeah, eventually I'll clear some stuff off if I needed to, I guess, but so far I haven't had to. So, okay. Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's quick and it's efficient, and the little icons there, and there's the web front end, and it all seems to work quite well. The only thing that I don't quite like is the fact the shared folders, so somebody shares a folder with you, kind of counts towards your storage as well.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I don't like about it, but I'm managing to keep that under control as well.
Cool. What about you, Laura?
I use Dropbox and I pay for it.
Ah.
I used Dropbox for free for a bit, and then when I started my PhD... 3 years ago, something like 3.5 years ago, I wanted something that was essentially version control. so that I could find things when I've made a mess.
Rather than actually using version control.
Yeah, well, I went on Twitter and said, who recommends something? You know, I want this. And so I had people recommend Git, which was nice of them.
which 3 years later you're now learning.
Which 3 years later I'm now learning so I can use GitHub. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad I didn't go down that route. I've used SVN a lot in the past and stuff, but it's just, I just want to be able to drop stuff into a folder.
So is the version control a feature of the paid version of Dropbox, or did you need the extra space?
No, the version control. Well, you get a month's version control versioning history anyway for free.
Yeah.
But if you want more than that. You have to buy the PackRat
add-on. Oh, really?
PackRat add-on is fairly cheap, but in order to have the PackRat,
you need
Pro version. Well, so much the space.
Oh, I see.
You just have to have the Pro version.
And how much is that?
All in all, I think it's about 78 quid a year.
Is that for more? It's does that give you more space and PackRat?
Yeah, you get 100. For being Pro, you get 100 gig.
Wow, okay.
And then, and so I put all my photos and everything. It was like 30 gig of photos.
Right.
And then the PackRat thing. But to be fair, I've never actually gone beyond like a week or two. So on balance, maybe don't need it. But the space is useful now.
Yeah.
But that's something you would never have had with Ubuntu 1, the versioning. Because it never had versioning.
The reason I didn't go with Ubuntu 1 at that point was because they didn't have a decent web interface for being able to access stuff when I didn't have the actual installation.
Right.
It had it quite soon after, I think, because I remember we discussed it on the podcast.
Yeah.
But at the time that you couldn't, download.
Again.
No, it didn't. No, the file access was always there.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm thinking
there were other else. Tomboy went away.
Oh, that's it. Tomboy went away. Yes.
Yeah. I still use it. Partly it's kind of just because it works. Why would I change, kind of thing? And I pay once a year. So any time in the year I think about it, I go, I'll forget about it till November or whatever. Come November, it goes, oh, yeah, we've just taken £80 out of your account. All right, well, I may as well stick you for the year.
Cunning. Do either of you worry about the fact that your data is now with someone else on Dropbox servers and not encrypted?
Not really for the sort of things that I'm putting in it.
Because it's all just photos?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
If I put some documents and things in there as well, but...
They're not your private photos, they're other people's private photos.
Well, they are stuff that's mostly there for distribution anyway, so it's not like it's massively secure design documents or intellectual property or anything else.
Could you not achieve the same thing by like SCPing the files up to a web host and giving them a link to a folder?
Yep, could do that too, yes.
And what is it just easier with Dropbox?
It's just so easy.
Right, okay. So ease of use trumps the fact that you no longer have control over those files.
Yeah, and I haven't got to pay for web hosting and stuff, which I do have already, obviously, but... No. I haven't got to maintain that too. Yeah, it is just really easy.
Yeah.
It's ease of use for me mainly as well.
Right.
Well, what about you then?
Mark.
Hello. I have made my way through various solutions over the years.
Here we
Come,
go.
Come, tell us
this
about
is,
them.
This is the alternative version.
So when Dropbox first came out, it was basically the only thing that did it. So I used Dropbox for a bit and found it very easy and convenient. I then started trying to move away from having stuff stored on servers which I don't control, essentially.
Mm.
So I moved to OwnCloud, which I've spoken...
And you had that running on a box at home?
Yeah, and I still have it running on a box at home.
Right.
I've spoken about this quite a lot on the show before, so I won't go into massive detail. You can probably search the archives and hear diatribes from me about OwnCloud. But basically, I mean... provides you with a web interface to your files and a WebDAV mountable volume, and they also have a sync client which works quite well up to a point. The trouble is I sync my whole music collection so that I can have it on my server and on my desktop and on my laptop if I want to listen to music, for example, and when you start doing gigabytes worth of files with the OwnCloud sync thing, it tends to fall over. So I then moved to BitTorrent Sync, which, again, we've spoken about before on the show.
Right.
Which is a decentralized version, so it doesn't rely on having a central server to sync things between, like OwnCloud does. It's peer-to-peer, which is good, but it's also proprietary, and the developers aren't terribly responsive to questions.
No, I've discovered this myself as well.
Because yes, I've written an application indicator for it, and I had some questions about the licensing and their terms of their API, and basically the terms made it seem like they weren't happy with anybody writing open source applications using their API, and they wouldn't give me a straight answer as to whether it was okay or not.
Right,
which makes me sort of not want to carry on doing it.
So you've meandered through Dropbox, OwnCloud, BT Sync. Any others?
I'm now migrating from BT Sync to Sync Thing.
Right. And so the thing that turned you off from BT Sync was just the fact that they don't seem responsive and you can't maintain your own software that hooks into theirs. Is that the main thing?
It's also the sort of, you know, slightly weird magic way it appears to work, and it's not particularly well defined anywhere. And, you know, they say, you know, yes, it's secure and it's encrypted and it only syncs between your devices, but it could also be syncing with their central server, which has some
or the NSA
crafty master key on it, and they're, right, you know, getting all my files.
Yes.
People on their forums have sat with Wireshark and watched the traffic and how much it's sending and when it's sending it, and it seems pretty safe that it is actually only doing what they say. But if I have an open alternative, which with Sync Thing I do, then I'm happier using that.
Right. So of all the ones, I've noticed all the ones you've chosen are all free of cost.
Yes. That's the other thing. I've got a big RAID array on my server at home, and I now have a fairly decent internet connection, so I don't really feel the need to pay someone else for a load of storage just because it happens to also be on the internet.
Right. So for you, cost is a factor.
Yes.
Control of your data is a factor.
Yes.
Security is a factor. Openness is a factor.
Yes.
Given it's at home, reliability is less of a factor for you, it seems.
I've had one hard drive fail, and I replaced it, and everything kept going.
Right.
So, you know, yes, it's something that I have to pay attention to or worry about rather than leaving someone else to pay attention to or worry about.
So you've moved to Sync Thing.
Yes.
What does that do the same things that Ubuntu One, Dropbox, OwnCloud, BT Sync does?
More or less. It's at the moment it's a bit clunkier. It's slightly less easy to use. The thing like
So from a UI point of view,
And just a general setup point of view, because, for example, with OwnCloud and BT Sync, when you wanted to add another folder, you basically had a key which you like. Well, no, sorry. With OwnCloud, you pointed it at the server and said sync that folder, and it synced. And with BitTorrent Sync, you had a secret, which was a very long string, which you pasted in, and then it found the folder on whichever other nodes had that. Whereas with Sync Thing, you have to type in this enormous key to add another device on your network, and then you have to type in the ID of the shared folder, which is the same on all of the other nodes, and then it starts to sync. And then you have to do it on the other end as well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it doesn't see it.
Right.
But once you've done that, it just seems to work, and it seems, you know, fairly stable.
So, obviously, the recommendation from Tony and Laura seems to be, you know, Dropbox ease of use.
Yes.
Which one would you choose then?
How do you mean? Sorry.
Well, recommending it for someone else.
It depends whether you care more about ease of use or security. Basically, I reckon.
What would you pick for ease of use, having tried all different ones?
Okay. Yeah, I'd say Dropbox is easiest to use in terms of having basically no setup whatsoever. You sign up for an account and you have a folder which you put stuff in. So yes, for ease of use, Dropbox definitely wins. As you say, Ubuntu One pretty much had the same thing when it was alive. Yes.
Has anybody tried the Box? Because
I have not.
That's quite similar, I think, to Dropbox. But
there's a few of these. There's the Box, Copy. Microsoft have got their own one, and then there's Google Drive.
Trying to be that.
You know, you can stick loads of files in your Google Drive, although there isn't a native client on Linux.
I do use that for collaborative document editing.
Right, yeah, I use that too for documents. I was thinking
I don't put any personal stuff in
there. Uploads and things.
But yeah, right. I don't use it for uploading just general files.
Right, okay. So I went through a similar thing as you guys. But I've had Dropbox for years, and I've
Told us about it.
Did I? Yeah. Oh my gosh. So yeah, and I've managed to accumulate a lot of free space by referring loads of other people. So yeah, Tony, you should refer your customers to use Dropbox, and then you get loads of free space.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there you go. Tell them to click this link first, sign up for Dropbox, and then I'll share this folder with you, and then you get free space.
I think awesome. I've got about 20-25 gig in referral. In,
right.
Not just referrals, but I took part in the university space race. And I got loads for that.
Yeah, if you have an academic account, you can get quite a lot of free space.
Okay, I thought I had a lot. I've got 15.8 gig of Dropbox, but yeah, that's pretty good. So I went through Dropbox, and I then moved everything into Ubuntu One when I started, you know, getting confident that Ubuntu One was pretty good. And yeah, not early on. But I did have a couple of significant problems with Ubuntu One in that it was very slow to sync and it was quite unreliable, and the client failed for me a number of times in a way that Dropbox just didn't. Mm. You know, I found Dropbox really reliable where Ubuntu One just wasn't. So most of my stuff is still in Dropbox, but I'm feeling really uneasy about having stuff in Dropbox and having it all on their servers, because it's not all encrypted. They do deduplication data storage, so if I put a PDF in there and you put a PDF in yours, if it's the same PDF, only one copy is stored on their servers, so it's clearly not encrypted.
I'm kind of curious about an easy way of encrypting files.
So what I do, I have a few files in my Dropbox which is encrypted, it's actually not that hard if you don't mind using GPG. There is a GUI to set up GPG keys, right? Mm-hmm. And you basically mash the keys and type in a password, and yeah, you know, it's really straightforward. There's a thing called Seahorse on Ubuntu, mm-hmm. right? Once you've got that key, you can then encrypt a file. And this is where it gets a little bit nerdy. Yeah, it's really, really easy. I use Vim with a GPG plugin. And so every time I open these GPG encrypted files, the Vim GPG plugin decrypts the file for me.
Right.
And I can then edit it.
So that's fine for text files.
And as soon as I save it, it gets re-encrypted back to disk automatically. So I don't have to do anything. So that's really nice, but it's only for plain text files or whatever you can edit in Vim.
I'd kind of like something where it does it within the file manager,
yes.
And is cross-platform, and because I've got, it's not the same thing, but I've got a password manager, KeePass, and
right.
It's yeah. brilliant that it runs on Android, Linux, and Windows.
Right.
And I can just download the file from Dropbox and that's Dropbox.
So what you're really wanting is like a container inside which you can put loads of stuff, and you know it's encrypted, yeah. and you can share it across all the machines, yeah. and you can open it on all the machines, which is basically what TrueCrypt was.
Yeah.
And TrueCrypt Next should continue to be. So keep an eye on TrueCrypt Next. But I've also switched to SyncThing, and I've been using SyncThing for syncing files between my laptop, my desktop, and my home server. And just my own files on my own machines. But more recently, while I was working with Martin Wimpress on the Ubuntu Mate remix, he's put SyncThing on his server, and we've shared a folder that's got the ISO images in and another folder that's got the documentation and our notes in. We shared these keys via this horrible mechanism that Mark was talking about that's not very straightforward. But now we both have a folder that I can drop stuff in, he can edit it, it's, okay. and it just synchronizes between us. But the big benefit for me is there's no limit on space. The only limit on space is how much space I've got on my machine and essentially how much Martin has on his machine. Because if I've got terabytes and I drop loads of files in there, it's going to sync across to him. I don't know if there's any limits he can place to prevent me doing that. But I've found, yeah, pretty much the same as you. Dropbox for ease of use, SyncThing for control of my own data.
Cool. Well, if you have any other alternatives, and you can email us at podcast@ubuntu-uk.org, and you can tell us about how they rate on the Crescos.
Thank you.
It's time now for command line love, and this one is based around the df command, which shows you the size of file systems and how much space has got left on it.
Right. Read it out.
No, it's really complicated and horrible to read out.
What does it do?
So it orders your file systems by the percentage that they've been used. So the command, the content of df is just sort of fairly random, I think. I don't know quite how it's ordered normally, but it sorts that based on the amount of percentage of your file space that's been used. So you can see each of your different disks or other devices you've connected or plugged into it, like USB sticks, and how much space there is left on them. You can also, with a different option, sort by file system size. So it just makes it a little bit more intuitive maybe about where to look in that list.
Seems like the kind of feature which should be built into DF, doesn't it?
Yeah. The fact that there's something being constructed which is so horribly complex and circuitous in order to get there is a little bit disappointing in a way.
Well, you know, part of this gigantic command is just making, well, quite a big chunk of it, is just making sure that the header is at the top.
Yes.
Which, you know, seems a bit weird. It would be nice if, you know, you didn't have to worry about that.
True, yeah. Okay, if you cut that bit out, I guess it would be a lot more simple. But, yeah, it's all fine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. I tried it myself, and, yeah, it works. It's nice.
Yeah, excellent.
Cool.
It's good. Well, that'll save you valuable seconds.
Well, yeah.
Apart from the time you spent looking for that command, presumably.
Yeah. That too.
Okay, and that's the command line love for this time.
Now it's time for your feedback. So first up, we've got an email from Simon Josie, who sent us quite a long email, but basically telling us it continues to get better and better. And that's because he feels he knows our characters quite well, and perhaps it's just because we all seem so comfortable in each other's company, even when one of us has our grumpy trousers on.
Alan.
What?
He even likes the musical stings, Tony.
Good, that's what I like to hear.
Which he didn't when he first subscribed. So we're just grounding down, I think. and he likes the format, and yeah, it's brilliant, basically.
Basically, we're awesome.
We're awesome. The turning point for him was the episode from a couple of seasons back where you all spoke about why you got interested in OpenSource/Ubuntu. Do you remember that?
No.
I felt that the episode went in a subtly different direction with you all revealing more about yourselves than I'd heard before.
That's probably not a good thing.
No. Anyway, he says, keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you.
It was quite a nice email.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you.
We love getting those emails.
Yeah,
but he didn't just say, yeah, you're great.
Yeah. He told us why.
Exactly.
And we had a tweet from Alan Cox. This is not the kernel hacker. This is the other Alan Cox.
Mm.
Yes.
And he tweeted to Popey and us, is the much needed Ubuntu phone to initially include convergence with desktop functionality? I really do hope so.
Well, we had a session about this today on the Ubuntu Online Summit, and the answer is no. Initially, the first phones and the first phone images don't have the converged desktop because that's not ready yet.
Right.
So the plan is for there to be an image that you can download that has Unity 8 and Mia and has all of the nice new converged version of Unity on it. But that's not all finished yet. So,
right, once so it won't be finished, on the phones. That'll just be there for you to play with.
Yeah, but that's on a desktop, not on the phone.
Oh, I see. Okay, right.
So
what
later.
What if you plug a really small screen into your desktop?
Yeah, and then try and shove it in your pocket. If you feel like you want to simulate the experience of having a gigantic desktop in your pocket, try it. But no, that'll be later on.
Okay.
On the blog says, thanks for the hint about Linux formats, Linux Foundations, Linux intro course at edX. I would welcome more such announcements in future shows, albeit maybe a bit close to a course's actual start date, smiley face. I mean, it's news now, but in my humble opinion, the relevance to many listeners cannot be at its peak now.
So, yeah, it doesn't start until August, does it?
Yeah, you know,
you want to sign up now.
Yeah, you want to sign up, get yourself ready, get your pencil sharpened, and get your notepads out.
Coloured pens.
Mm. Get your lucky gonk.
Gel pens.
Yeah.
So there's a couple to read out now. So Dan Winan donated to my Malawi mission.
You're going to Malawi?
Really?
Well, yeah. But
when?
But he specifically wanted a shout out for having done so, because he donated £14.04. So the latest.
I didn't get a shout out.
The latest edition of Ubuntu. You donated anonymously. When I was £25 away from the limit, you donated £24.99.
Yes, I did.
I now realise this was you. I did have a suspicion, but yeah. And then Dave Wickham from the open source community actually just tipped me over the target amount. So
and donated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So everybody has been really kind and generous, and lots of other people who I know as well have been really generous and supported the whole thing. So it's amazing, really. We're talking about it for nearly a year.
Mm. Now you've actually got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're finally getting rid of you.
So thank you very much indeed. Finally getting rid of me. Oi. I heard that. So the last thing we've got is an email from Dr. Jellyface. That's what he said.
He's writing because he can't resist the please do contact us sting for the fourth or fifth time.
Well, someone likes it.
Yeah. And it works, apparently. So he just wants to say we're awesome again. And we're wonderful.
It's not that we have loads and loads of email and most of it says we suck and we don't read that out.
We do actually get quite a few nice ones.
Yeah.
So it's quite a new Linuxer for about 3 months, running Ubuntu, what else, with Lubuntu desktop installed because his computer's not powerful enough for Unity. He says, please can you make the podcast a bit louder?
Turn the volume up.
I've set the volume to max and I still don't hear everything, especially if someone speaks from the back and or a lorry passes. I suggest a new car because we find that cars are quite noisy.
Yeah, it's tricky. It is tricky to get the levels right.
A Jag or something probably usually cuts out the noise.
Put your ear trumpet back in, and, although not while you're driving.
Yeah. We're very nice to people who write feedback in, aren't we?
Yeah.
Now, thank you for the feedback. We highly appreciate it.
Speech is difficult in cars.
Mm. Yes.
Gaming with Tony should be longer.
Yeah. Really shouldn't be.
I completely agree. Yes, it should be. It almost should be spun off into a separate show.
Gaming with Tony.
Oh, honestly.
Anyway, yeah. So he likes it.
Cool. Right.
Thank you, Dr. Jellyface. I just want an opportunity to say that name again.
The Ubuntu podcast needs you. Yes, you. If there's something you think we should talk about or someone we should talk to, tweet at UUPC or email podcast@ubuntu-uk.org. You can also talk to us on the telephone, Skype, Facebook and Google+. Find links to all these places on our website, podcast.ubuntu-uk.org. And remember, if we don't hear from you, we might not have enough content. And that can only mean one thing. More quizzes.
Please, no, not more quizzes.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Oh, Alan's got something to say before I say goodbye.
Oh, well, no, I was just thinking on the way here. We haven't done a quiz for a long time.
We haven't.
We haven't done a product review for a long time. And we haven't given away stuff for a long time. So if people want to send us stuff to review or want to give us stuff that we will give away to our listeners for a prize.
Yes.
Then let us know.
podcast@ubuntu-uk.org. Thank you very much for listening. The next live show will be on Wednesday, the 25th of June at 8:30. Goodbye.
8:30 in the...
Goodbye.
PM.
PM.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.